together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clapped your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Morning, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. Yes, this is Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn here live on the Now Network, live in the studio this morning. And we want you to join us for a variety of Real Talk discussions. Our topic in this season is violence next door. We're in part two of human trafficking. We started last week with a little bit of an information to all of our listeners, but we want each one to get involved in this conversation. But for all that didn't know, here is our disclaimer. Family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And yes, with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and we will reach the lost and unsaved. When now. Amen. God bless you guys. We're excited to continue this journey. We believe that we've been called for this platform. We have been called for this season and for this moment to share the truth, the truth that sometimes does not feel good. The truth hurts, but the truth will set us free. So we all come together on one accord. And since we mentioned that we are following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, since we're talking about human trafficking in the new era, we all know back in the old school era what sex trafficking, not just human trafficking, but what sex trafficking has been known in our communities since we can remember. But even when we go back to John chapter 8, the very beginning of it, and you know, this is examples of the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to catch Jesus in a trick or trying to get him to bear false witness. But it says, now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, and in the very fact now Moses in the law commanding us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, and they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then arose who heard it, being convicted by their consciousness, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. Oh, my God, this is the miracle. Watch this. When Jesus had raised himself and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those who accuses of yours? No one who condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I just wanted to share that this morning, is that no matter what we're going through and the topics that we're talking about, you're that person out there and you don't know how you got here. You've been invited, but you didn't want to call, but you did. You thought it was going to be all about you and we were going to be putting you on under the bus. No, we are all, watch this, the Bible says sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The greatness that we can share this morning is that we found life through Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven for all of our transgressions, no matter what it is that you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what people said about you. Watch this. Well, even what people know about you, Jesus can forgive you and set you free. Then give you the ability to now walk in a new walk, a new talk, a new elevation of relationship with people, that now you are respected for who God truly created you to be, his greatest miracle. His greatest miracle, that you could go forth and say, let me show you through my testimony what you do dare not go through. That not just my testimony of sorrow, not just my testimony of experience, but my example of how to rise up and live again through my trouble, through my storms, through my circumstances, that this Jesus that is alive in me today can change your life because of what he has already done for me. We are the examples, family, that should go forward and tell somebody about the love of Jesus, not try to lead them in to get numbers and to get followings and to get fans and things like that, but to take it to another level of growth, that we all have the right to the same Jesus. And if you're on here today and say, well, I don't believe in him, I know of him, and we have different religions that I'm talking to you too, I'm not giving up on you. You're in the right place. This isn't just trying to corner you. We're trying to say that the same love that is shared with us can be shared to you. If you're broken, you can be fixed. If you're hurt, you can be loved. If you have been destroyed, you can be rebuilt today. If you make a conscious decision in your life to watch, not wait to people who have spoken against you, but who's standing in front of you now, still accusing you, who's standing in front of you now when they've been, watch this, when they have been challenged with the same question, who among you have not sinned? If you take the same position in life today and understand that this is a new beginning from you, something that's never, ever been done before, you've never experienced it before, you've never had anybody tell you about it before, because this is your personal experience with the Jesus that I know, that will love, will forgive, and will recreate in you a clean heart and give you the right spirit to love yourself, that now you really can love someone in return. Oh, I'm thankful that God changed me. I'm thankful that God has me in a position that I can offer a platform for others that have been changed. But also for that one person out there today that thought it wasn't you, that you didn't think it was able, that it was possible for you, that you could make, I'm here to tell you today, you're the one that all of this is about. You're the one. Why we do what we do. You're the one that is here by not knowing, and I dare some people to invite some people you thought wouldn't listen. Text them now. You need to be on this broadcast. It's for you. No, we're not pointing fingers. No, we're not throwing stones. Now, if your foot gets stepped on, that's because you needed some awakening. But we're not throwing stones. We're not condemning, because we are all messed up. But guess what? I've learned that when I do better for me to get me right, God will show up in my life, and you can see it through my example of not what I say, but what I'm actually doing. That's why I want to encourage you today as we get ready to bring in our co-host, Minister Terry must be praying for me right now, Minister Carolyn Hamilton, as we bring in our co-hostess. But just to know that she is a living proof also of how God, when you learn to love yourself, can let you learn to love others. I am so grateful today that we are in this position to say enough is enough. I'm grateful today that we can all say, yes, violence is next door, but not anymore. I know we can all say that, well, we've heard of human trafficking in Russia and in the Ukraine and in Germany and different places, but not knowing human trafficking has been right under your nose all along. We have to become more aware, and we have to become more involved if we're going to help people that are out there already. We have a lot of people already out there fighting this battle, but we need more. We need more connections. Now, believe me, some of us men and brothers out there, listen, there's nothing against us. Some of these areas we cannot even endeavor. some of these areas, we have to be support systems as all our female and all of our helpmates and all of our called covenant partners have been there for us. This is one of those things that we may have to step back and allow God to use them in this season to relinquish and to restore. Oh, I like that. And to restore people's lives. And we could just be the support team now. So I sign up to support. And I know I have other brothers and other covenant partners that will do this also. But it's not okay. I know it as different names and different ways. We've even acknowledged last week it was in our own neighborhoods. We were doing it to ourselves. And thinking it was okay to make ends meet. We thought it was okay to get by. I'm not saying that you must not do what you have to do, but I'm here to tell you I've done it in all different phases of life. And I'll tell you today, if you become who God has called you to be, a leader, oh my God, oh no, not barking, but showing, not pushing, but leading and guiding people to understand to become leaders also, you know you're doing it, that God can be lifted up, that you're doing it, that God can be glorified, and that no longer you live, but Christ who lives in you. Ooh, I thank you this morning, Heavenly Father God, for this opportunity. So, Lord, we bless you today. We pray in agreement today that all agenda, all self, all of the eyes die today, that you could live. Lord, decrease in us that you may increase right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts go forward and be acceptable in your sight. This we pray today in Jesus' name. And we decree and we declare today that we're not just here for another show or another broadcast. We are here to claim it, that we will not leave this place the same. We will be changed. We will be rearranged and we will, come on, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement said, amen and amen. Good morning, Minister Carolyn. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you for asking, Pastor E. And as always, it's an honor to be on the show with the calling guest and of course you. I learn from you all the time. So, yeah, I'm feeling much better today.
Hey, man, I thought I would preach about 8 minutes of glory that you could get that anointing on your life this morning. We are praying for you and knowing in all of your endeavors that you are a hard worker. And as you are learning obedience to the Holy Spirit, that you just find rest in God. Amen. 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 So we're talking about human trafficking. I know we've invited some people. If you've been invited to interact with this broadcast today, I already see one in the queue, area code 951, last 40360 in the queue. If there's someone else that was invited, you didn't know if you wanted to join in the conversation, but now you're feeling that God is drawing you and pulling you in, dial one now. We want to get you identified in this broadcast. But Minister Carolyn, I know we've been talking about that. We left off last week on some percentages about trafficking in all forms. And the number one thing I learned is that women and girls they make up 98% of the world's trafficking environment. It's basically sexual exploiting throughout the world, just alone in our country. Sex trafficking has been around since the beginning of time that we know. Thank God that there are more services now that are stepping out and identifying the issue that's going on. And we want to say to anybody out there, if you're here and you are actually living in that lifestyle, God is still here. You're who this show is for. He's calling you to know that there's a way out, but we want to be able to provide resources. So I know you've been doing some research and some things, and I know this is something God is anointing and growing you for in this season. Because as I said, even when I'm on Long Beach Boulevard and actually preaching and praying for the women that are out being exploited through sex trafficking, it's still hard to interact because of pimps and guys hiding around the corners and making Pastor Eve may have to go left field and things like that. It's really a challenge. And so I'm thankful for you ladies stepping up and us even bringing this up. We were talking about any force of violence. Well, this is a force of violence to be coerced into doing something that you're not naturally born to do or really willing to do?
I did want to say, well, before we close out, I found a number that they could text, they could call, and of course, our numbers. But I did search, and I have been looking at things, and it's ironic how the like they said, the Super Bowl was coming up, how people bring other people from other countries and sell them to high-profile people. I had never heard of that or even thought to imagine it. But as I kept
searching, why did you bring this up? Why did you bring this up? Because you know what? Not only around the world, do you know that this is every year? That every year that pimps across the country have already booked rooms to exploit Atlanta. Atlanta is the hottest spot for prostitution right now. Oh, excuse me. I'm supposed to say sex trafficking, the new language. But Atlanta is the biggest spot right now. And it's a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah. It's ironic. But I know that we do have someone online that could expound and talk a little bit more on it. She's listening, but I'm quite sure she has a lot to speak on. I don't know if it's the number that the lady that has pressed one.
Okay, let's identify. Area code, and this is somebody familiar. I know this number. Area code 951, last 40360. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is such an honor to be here. And my name is Enoko Major.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Amen. Please pronounce that first name for me one more time.
Enoko Major.
Enoko.
And I'm also here. Yes. It's me and one of my a close partner of mine that deal with human trafficking. He has an organization that's called Real Men. And so we're both trained facilitators with human trafficking to train people who actually are going to teach people about human trafficking. So we actually went through the training, not just in Riverside County, but at the border, like you said, Atlanta, New York, different places, just gaining knowledge and also showing ourselves approved, because that's what God said. Make sure that you know what you're doing, know what you're talking. And I've noticed that people want numbers when you're talking to Sacramento or people at the White House. They want to know data. And so I just said, God, you have to use us in a way that people are going to listen. So over the last couple of years, we've taken off a break due to some just to really get the information out so we're not giving wrong information and we can really change people's lives. And it costs. People don't realize it costs to run programs. And
oh, yes,
so
it does.
Just making sure. So those are some of the things that right now that we're doing, learning about how to report data, how to do evidence-based, so that when these programs are coming up, their doors aren't closed because they don't have strong administrative skills, but they have the heart. And you have a lot of programs that don't have that heart, but they have a strong administrative team. So they have large monies, large financial backing. But Carolyn has a heart and a passion and for this. And so it's like it's doors like that that need to stay open forever and ever and ever.
That's right. That's right.
So,
well, you know, we're on a charge this season of 2019, and everybody knows when I'm talking season, I'm not a year person anymore. I work in seasons, and my season is today. I work day by day in my season. But we've called out dead land throughout the United States and the world, but specifically here at home, that dead land that's out there, and it's working because we've already had one lady that has five properties that we'll be talking on Monday about finding out how we can secure these lands and getting some safe havens out there that these programs that you're talking about can go forward and work. And so, see, God is not a miraculous God. A mysterious God. He's a miraculous God, because we're not here mysteriously. Right. We're definitely here by calling, and the miraculous is moving today. So I'm encouraged. We definitely have some questions for you. I know you said one thing. What is the cost to run a program?
Oh, it depends on what type of program you're going to run. If you're going to run a shelter, a 24-hour shelter, where I don't like to use the name victims, so,
right.
because I think we're victorious or warriors. Walked through these doors,
right.
you have to sit down and look at the cost of services. And a lot of things that people don't realize is that I would probably say our poor person, you want to probably look at, I would say, anywhere from $3,000 to like $5,000 a month. And people will say, well, that's a lot. No, you have to remember that that person is going to need counseling. So you have to pay that therapist. That may need clothing. That person. So when you're sitting down and you're allocating what, you got to have administrative costs. You got to have a director cost. You got to have pencils, papers, all of those little things. And sometimes, well, as you know, you guys are ministers. People think I just come to church on Sunday and the lights are supposed to be on. They don't know there's a budget behind this. And so in your program, you have to sit down and you have to look at every cost and not I just want to help. I'm going to help people. And that's sometimes where small grassroots programs have a difficulty, because they're so passionate that they forget about paying salaries to that administrator who has to travel, who has to network, because keeping your doors open is about networking. So everything is public information. I tell people, if you have a nonprofit, all of this information is public. So I have worked in private. I have seen private programs that are getting at least $8,000 per kid. Per client. You have some ranging up to $18,000 a month. And those are people who are contracting with county agencies, because a lot of the counties don't know what to do. They're lost. And I've had a chance to work with the client, the perpetrator, and the families, and the dynamics is more intense and serious than you think, because you may put all the resources into the client and then the family don't accept them because of shame and guilt. And then you have the perpetrator who's out there telling her they don't want you, and they end up going back after you spend $10,000-$20,000 on this victim. I've had a chance to right now, my specialty is I worked a lot with perpetrators, people who actually put these traffic, the kids are sexually abused. So over the last 20 years, my focus had been on working with those who abused and sitting across them and find out why. Because a lot of times we can't train and educate our parents or our community if we don't know why.
Exactly.
Why is my child who has everything she needs in this home or everything he needs in this home was lured or coerced or any, and as a parent, you feel guilty and shame. So you may have that person come back home, and then they got to deal with the shame and the embarrassment that you feel. And how many times parents or family members or even foster parents say, well, I have a kid in my, or a young person in my home who's been a victim of human trafficking. They won't say that out loud. Because ashamed. And we have, and I've worked with child welfare. It was so difficult. Once you told a foster parent whose life is devoted to caring for these kids that this young lady or young man was a part of human trafficking, they say, no, too high risk, no. We would say we'd put any dollar amount for you to take care of them. Nope. They would say no. And I began to ask why. And they would say things like, well, I have a husband in my home. I have boys in my home. And I'm like, what does that have to do with this child?
No, what does that have to do with this child? But they're protective over because, see, most people don't know. And I'm going to say this out because we've done the research. But most people think that women in that lifestyle want to be there, that that they're a threat because of that lifestyle, that now that's all they know is sex, and that's going to be a bad situation in the household. See, those are some of the things I believe we need to break and need to really be attentive to. And then you said something really hit my spirit, is that you started on the other side, you know, and we do the same thing there. I'm gonna call you Miss Major until I got that first name. But that's the way we have to look at it. We have a show on Tuesday called Man Up, the Movement. And we asked ourselves, first of all, you have to know you're wrong. And then you have to say, I take on full responsibility for my wrong, but let me research why I was. Now, as an example, I'm a PK kid, and I did some, I'm not perfect and had got a lot of history that's dead. But I had to go back once I got conscious and ask the question, why? But then I remember as a kid, they used to always say, oh, that's, and I don't use that name anymore, but that's Eddie Hamilton. That's the preacher's kid. Now, you know, they the worst. And I used to hear that all the time as a kid. I recognize I did what I heard people say I was. So now I was doing things that I really wasn't who I naturally was. But if we speak enough words into people's lives, people do only what they know how to do. And when you ask people, well, why do you do that? Well, that's what my daddy did, so I thought that's the right thing to do. Or that's what my mother did, that's why I did it. Or that's how my household was. That to go back to the root and find out the why. So I applaud you for that there, and that passion for those that have been the perpetrator. I like that word. And for the victim, perpetrator, victim. We need to keep that live here, you guys. And remember, the code name for abuse is what? Linda. We came up with that a couple of weeks ago with Evangelist Shekinah Val. But definitely, you had somebody else with you, you said, on the line?
Yes. And one other thing, when you were talking, the perpetrator, I met this perpetrator who had 70 young kids under the age of 10 that he had abused. 70. No, it was 69. But it was 70 kids he had actually went after. And I said, well, why don't you have 69? We're charging you for 70. He said, because that one child told me, stop. Please don't touch me. So when I began to interview kids from every background and said, did you ever say stop? They said, no. And this man who had been molesting kids and putting them and trafficking them for 30-something years had never been caught. And he told me two key things. No child had ever told him but one out of 70 to stop and please don't hurt me. He said they cried, they begged, but nobody ever just said stop. Mm. And I was just like, wow, how many of us, our parents, when we tell our kids, don't let somebody touch you, don't do this, don't listen, but do we ever teach them a simple word to scream out, stop?
No.
And
stop.
He said it just stunned him, stopped. And so and out of thousands of kids that I've interviewed who have been abused, none of them, not even one, said stop. Never said stop. Out of all the parents I've trained, kids who have been victims, have you ever told your kid just a simple word of stop? They said no. So, just a simple word of stop.
Right there. That is.
Because we do, we get deep, we get into telling our kids, you better not let nobody do this and ever. But he said, this little girl, 9 years old, just looked at him and said, stop. And he stopped. And he let her go. But here's the other, and one thing that I had to do was, I wanted, every time I go to trainings and workshops, I would say 90% of the room is filled with women. And I kept saying, where are men at with the human trafficking? Where are they at? And a lot of them are uncomfortable. But I found somebody who was willing to go through the training, who was willing to sit through all the trainings and meetings and learn a lot about it. And it changed their life and the way that they thought about human trafficking, about women, about sex, about teaching and reaching out to young women and boys about human trafficking and just anything dealing with not being afraid to teach our boys about no means no, yes means yes, and just about don't be afraid and don't be ashamed if you've been abused. But here is okay, and this is Terrence Major.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terrence. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn.
I just want to add that as I went through the training and so forth, that, you know, I have little sisters. I have I have women in my life, as we all have women in our life, or we wouldn't be here. And to see the level of shame, flat-out ignorance, it just amazes me that we live in a society still in the 21st century that is barbaric in a lot of cases, especially to young women.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. And the sex trafficking and child prostitutes, we used to say child prostitute, and they corrected us because a child cannot consent to prostitution, but that's the terminology that we use, and we use that terminology because that's the way we think. We think that they have choices in the matter, and the truth be told, they don't have choices. And I believe that the Creator is putting us in a position where they're on our hearts. So now we have to respond in kind to alleviate some type of injustice that's going on in the society. And the question becomes, when you're staring in the face, you know, do you stand up or do you cower?
Yes. Well, we definitely need more. We need more to stand. That's definitely there, and to first of all stop it on the other side. And I applaud you also, my brother. I heard her congratulate you that you went through the training. And
we went through the training, certified, and it changed. It changed me because there were a lot of things that I was stereotyped and just oblivious to, but I learned that it made a big difference.
Amen. Well, education, you know, the Bible says we perish for a lack of knowledge. So a lot of us out there that don't understand this because we're not taking time to read. We're not taking time to take these courses and classes. A word that came up when Sister Major was speaking about volunteers. Do you guys ever need interns or volunteers or people to help you guys? I know we have through Minister Carolyn, and I think she was having a conversation, so I muted her, but let me bring her back. I know we have people throughout the city and the nation that is willing to learn and to grow and to help as any way can. So first of all, the network here to both of you is available every Saturday at the same time to get your message out, any announcements, any programs, anything you have going, any help you may need, please feel free to contact myself and we'll get you on board to share your information throughout all our social media avenues that we can partner and be in covenant to helping people become educated and to become more willing to get involved. Minister Carolyn, you're live.
I just wanted to thank them very much. Thank them for coming on to the show. It was a lot of valuable information that was given. And I, too, would love to go to – I'm trained in domestic violence. But I think that it would be awesome if we could find somewhere or someone to come to us that could train us in it as well. So maybe – Ms. Enoko, maybe you could forward that information to us.
Yes. And one of the things is that, like I said, we're really doing a lot of research right now because we want to be able to train not just parents, but facilitators, foster parents, people who are actually working with the our clients and victims. And we want it to be where when they leave, they're ready to put the, instead of, I always say action speaks louder than words. And that's what I love about you, Carolyn, is that it's like not just talking, but actually making it happen. And one little thing I want to share, when you guys were talking about Atlanta, people don't know Oregon and Seattle, because it's next to the Canadian border, is very high for human trafficking. And you can actually order a child to go, to order, like go to a place and order a child, any kind of child you want. And when I law enforcement, I've had a chance to work with law enforcement, Border Patrol, ICE, all of these avenues where they won't share a lot of different, they can't, because either it's coming, they're, it's under investigation. So I have just been so blessed to be a fly on the wall, to be a part of some of these things. There's networks you wouldn't believe that people, pimps will coerce group homes. They were buying group homes in Mexico. They buy orphanages. And the staff didn't even know they were being manipulated. They didn't even know that this person, they were bringing them gifts and going through the whole thing. And then they had every kid in the orphan or every kid in the young kid in the foster home working for them. And before the staff could even put it together, no, the staff never even put it together. They closed their eyes. It was of law enforcement was watching it. So, and right here in our like you said, in our backyard. So there is a lot of black, what you call black, we call it like dark pay, dark websites that have, and it's thousands, and you're talking about a $40 billion industry that has surpassed drug trafficking.
Yes, it has.
It has passed drug trafficking. So, it could be the man next door. It could be anyone. And that's what amazed me. I mean, I had kids, I mean, as young as 16 years old, trafficking girls. And this person target, they said out in front of the children's court. And as the kids were leaving from children's court, whether it was a juvenile or a child welfare case, and they were and he was recruiting. Because he was a foster child, and he knew exactly everything you needed to know. And that's the one thing that I've learned from perpetrators is they study you. You are their prey. They're studying your every move. They're studying you as a human being in order to devour you. So it's like sometimes we look at that person and throw them to the side. So that was my thing. I wanted to get into the mind, to the why, and they will tell you. They'd love to glorify and to talk about how many people they've had. I took that information to train and to talk to other, and I validated it through research and through talking to the actual victims. And I tell you, from your favorite color, their job is to control you mentally. And you are a commodity to them. So I think we have to understand the thinking and the mindset of not just the victim, but of the person who's victimizing them, and knowing that they'll do anything to capture into you're their prey.
Well, yeah, but not only the prey, but you're their means of survival, and that's go ahead.
Yes. And no, you're their
lifeline, you know. So it definitely makes it a serious situation. And like I said, knowing the streets and being from the streets and being right next to it, it was like, oh my God, we could go on that story all along. I'm so grateful to be more educated and to be more willing to first admit that I was wrong and definitely out of line in some things in my past, but being now educated, we could do better. And these partnerships and these things like this is what gets me excited. Let me bring back Minister Carolyn. I know if you're on the line and you have heard the conversation and you need help, dial one right now. We have a green room that we could get you over into a secure area if you need to talk, that we could get you some help. and do what we can to assist you right now. But if you're on the call and you'd like to ask either of our any of our guests, Minister Carolyn or the Majors, this morning, dial one and come on and get involved. Minister Carolyn.
Yes, I'm just thrown back by all the information that I have received, it, and it makes me more enthused about us getting out there and actually trying to make a difference and help some of these people, because it's not just women. There's some men also that are being exploited. So it really piques my interest, and my heart goes out to especially parents who think that their children are missing, but they're actually being held against their will and sold off. It breaks my heart. So I appreciate and I'm so thankful, as we both are, Pastor E and myself, for the Majors coming on this morning and giving us this information. So beginning now, I look forward to what's more to come.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, we're going to be posting on the Facebook event page all of the services and all of the things that we've researched to get out there. We're going to put some informational stuff out there, too. You guys, if you don't want to do the research, we're going to do it for you. Do some reading today and get more educated on this situation. I want to definitely end this broadcast with praying for the lack of shame from family members. That's a big thing that leads past. If we're not supporting the one that's been hurt and now making them feel worse when they come home, where are they going to end up at? Right back where they started from. We have to stop the trend. We have to break the traditional curses that are going on in our societies, and it starts with us and how we treat one another. I'm so encouraged because of that essence of love that God gives each and every one of us, and we know that love is the ultimate relational that we have with God, to know that he loved us before we even deserved it, that now we can love others when they don't feel like they deserve it, that we can love them in. See, loving somebody is just not saying I love you. Loving is staying with them, sticking it through the thick and the thin, that now they can feel they can make it. Let's stop abandoning our loved ones. Let's stop abandoning our next door neighbors. Let's stop abandoning our neighbors' children and things like that, and believe in true love from God, that we could truly, truly make a difference. We're going to open up the lines at this moment right now. Minister Kimberly out of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, woman of God. Welcome to Real Talk.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor E. Good morning, Minister Carol, and all of my covenant family. And I was listening, and it's very interesting because, as I told Pastor E once before when you guys started this topic and I listened in, that I was really unaware that they really still did the human trafficking and all of these things, and it just touched me. But as y'all were pointing out, the reasons why some people turn down taking it in, taking them in, it's not just because of the shame. Also, the family members are afraid of the predators. They threaten the families and everyone else. And some families are just really inside afraid that if they take that abused or that soul, that lost person in that needs their help, that it's going to bring danger to their homes. And that's why they call them safe houses. And myself, being a victim, I've learned a lot, and I don't have a degree in counseling or this area, but not a degree in books of it. I have my degree from the streets and my own personal situations, and I have been in the Penelope House, that's our safe house out here, and a couple of times. And I watch very closely, and I listen to the counselors and the therapists and things like that, and I really got really personal with it. And I started an aerobic class in one when I was there the last time. But my point is this. We really need these safe houses because they're really not enough. The facility, like where I am, if there's not enough room to house the mothers and the children coming in, the place that they have to put them, and I'm not going to mention it because, like I said, safe house, they're in more danger because of not having enough room in this facility. where they're putting them and taking them meals, it is really their life is in, they're not in safety anymore where they place them. They're where anybody could see them, anybody could take the chance to see them. And that's why I am so busy wanting to work with Pastor E to get some properties out here where I am. And I really want to have my hands in on running some of these safe houses because, like I said, I have the experience and I know how I have the know-how, you know, and how to protect, help these people, keep it in their minds a way that you can be a survivor and not a victim. Just say I'm a survivor that will not be a victim again, you know. And the main focus is that God has led you here, but God also has given you these resources here. And as I say, I will never, ever leak out where that Penelope House shelter is because I know the importance. I wouldn't ever endanger other people's lives, but this is very important to me. And I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. This is a blessing. It is really a blessing because you have
I hear a recruit on the line. I hear a recruit on the line. We need to get more trained and more in-depth here. We'll definitely, Minister Kimberly, get you connected and with this thing. And we're going to go deeper in this. This is just not a one-time show. I want to definitely explore the possibilities of working together with the majors and many others in this arena. So thank you so much, woman of God, for, first of all, knowing your testimony, but also being a survivor and wanting to do something better. And I'm believing in your geographical place, we're going to have more than 10 places of refuge there, and I'm believing God is going to be using you in that arena. So God bless you, and
God bless you. We'll
keep you connected. Anybody else? Come on, dial one, and we'll bring you in to the conversation. Any information, Sister Major, that you would like to share? Anything that people could get in contact with you? Email anything that we could further get in person. There may be a person that's not going to dial one. You're not going to let me know you're on the line because there's two ways to listen. You could be online listening and you want to get involved. You have to dial the number to get interactive on the board. That's 319-527-6173. If you're listening by online and you're there and you don't want to talk, just send us a message to our messenger or call the P2B hotline at 213-595-7591. We will answer. We will get you connected to whoever you are wanting to talk to that you can start to begin again. Ms. Major, anything?
And what I'm going to do is Minister Carolyn, I'm going to get with her and give her information to put on the website and then also putting together the resources that I have for the Inland Empire and then also the ones that because a lot of the resources that I deal with child welfare. And I want to make sure that I have resources for everyone that you don't have to have adjudicated case, which means your child had to be picked up in order for you to get the help that you need.
Exactly. Right.
So
exactly.
I'm going to partner up with Carolyn. And just commenting on Sister Kim, the minister that just got off the phone, she is so
Sister Kim,
right.
Fine. Look, Look, I'm the one that labels everybody a minister, okay, because I believe we're all minister of reconciliation. But they go by first names. That's me. So we could.
She said, she hit something that rang in my mind when I'm interviewing young girls and boys of human trafficking. And they always say, especially kids of color, Hispanic, Asian, African-American, they said, there's no one who looks like us that tells our story. There's no one who looks like us who comes to help us. And it just blew me away. So she's right. Or people who have been through, they who have been through their shoes, who have walked through their shoes. It may be one or two people that may come through and do a lecture or talk, but to actually have a facilitator at the facility who can say, I know what you're going through. I just don't feel sorry for you, but I actually can empathize because I've went through what you've gone through. And that's the big question that I get from the survivors is sometimes I resist the program because the person doesn't look like me.
Right. Yeah. They don't know what I've been through. They don't connect to what I've been through.
And so, and I tell people, why do you think NA and AA works? Sometimes, even though, you know, giving them a pub, but she is so true and so right. Sometimes, yeah, we could have all the book smarts, all the degrees, but it's something about when you've actually gone through and you've learned and you have wisdom from it, not just gone through something and you still repeating it, but you actually came out of it and you can share it and it works. So I commend Minister Kim for sharing her story and for having a passion to now turn it around to help someone else.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. And a bigger platform, because she does it. I've known testimony of her doing it from her home and any way she can, getting them in rooms and helping them to feel safe. But to have the desire to go to a higher level, we applaud everyone on this broadcast today. Thank you guys so much for coming on board. I want to open the door of an invitation for you to come back and share any information you have. If there is a specific show that you would like to do on a Saturday morning, get with me and we'll program it in, schedule it, and go forward. If you have any events coming up, definitely share that with Minister Carolyn and myself so we can share that information at any time. So God bless. Thank you so much for stopping
Thank
by
you.
This morning. We want to definitely put out the invitation again for Love Is Not Domestic Abuse Foundation. Founder CEO Shekinah Val is presents Jesus Fix My Life, Look at Me Now conference. That is going to be held on February 16th, 2019 at 10 a.m. That's at the Marriott Long Beach, 4700 Airport Plaza Drive, Long Beach, California, 90815. You can call 562-425-5210 for any more information on that. But you can also find the event. Tickets are $25, which includes breakfast, brunch, and the meeting of all of the dynamic speakers that's going to be there. Bishop Noel Jones will be closing out the session on Saturday the 19th. Men are invited to come for his session, but not the earlier session. So again, Love Is Not Domestic Abuse Foundation is presenting Jesus Fix My Life, Look at Me Now. Look at the survivors. Look at the stories of those that have been through some form of abuse, domestic, verbal, all kinds of abuse, that are going to testify on this broadcast, at this event. Jesus Fix My Life, Look at Me Now. And I tell you from experience that he will do just that. Family, we thank you for joining us today for Real Talk with Pastor E. Know that you are loved, know that you are honored, know that you are appreciated. But the most important thing you need to know today is that God truly loves you. God created you in his own image. God, he called you his greatest miracle. All you have to do is start to acting like it and believing in yourself and know that he'll do it. Go on, clap your hands. Don't hang on yet. You need a little bit of this, little bit of this song in your day to day before you leave. Hey, won't he do it? I know he did it for me.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my line. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at you fast and hard, there's only one that could come and make it right.